NBC Radio News. I'm John Bohannon with a report that Vice President Rockefeller says the investigation of domestic spying by the CIA will be tough. He says it'll go all the way to the top, no matter where it leads. And Senator Howard Baker of Tennessee says the Congressional Select Committee on Intelligence Operations will go as far back as the Johnson administration to check on any spying. Baker says one reason in particular is a charge that the FBI conducted improper surveillance of political figures, possibly Senator Barry Goldwater, when he ran against President Johnson in 64.
I think that's a good reason why we need to go into the Johnson Library, the archives, and to find out what the relationship was during the Johnson administration to the CIA, the FBI, and particularly the DIA, the Defense Intelligence Agency. Do you remember the Irvin hearings on the question of army spying, so-called, on American citizens? A lot of these things seem to have grown up at the same time.
And Senator Baker says the panel will subpoena former President Nixon if it's necessary to check up on any spying activities. Senator Baker was interviewed on ABC's Issues and Answers. More news after this.
Ford Motor Company breaks things wide open with no-nonsense cash rebates. Up to $500 on America's best-selling lineup of small cars. No weekly cutoff dates. No trade-in requirements. No complicated details. You get $500 back when you buy or lease a Mustang 2 Ghia. $500 on the Mustang 2 Mach 1. $300 on Mustang 2 hardtops and 2 plus 2s. $350 on super cab pickups from the truck sales leaders. $200 on Ford Pinto and $200 on Mavericks. Get your Ford dealer's best deal. Then Ford Motor Company will send a cash rebate direct to you. This rebate plan covers new 75 models sold and delivered between now and February 28th. Don't wait. Act now. This is the time to get a no-nonsense cash rebate up to $500 from Ford. Ford means value, now more than ever. See your local Ford dealer.
The chairman of General Motors, Thomas Murphy, is quoted as saying the worst is over for the U.S. auto industry. In today's Detroit News, Murphy says he expects thousands of laid-off employees to be recalled this spring. GM has about 99,000 on layoffs, about one quarter of its workforce. And in Washington today, the head of the United Auto Workers, Leonard Woodcock, says America's car makers cannot lower their prices because it would mean losing money. Democrats from Michigan State got together this weekend in Detroit, and a major topic was President Ford's proposal to raise tariffs on imported oil. Most of the delegates say the plan is unfair. Senator Lloyd Benson of Texas added his voice to those who are opposed.
I very much oppose the high tariff on oil. I think if the president's program was carried out, that you'd see the price of oil go to almost $14 a barrel. And that would have as much impact on inflation, or close to it, as what the Middle East countries did when they quadrupled the price of oil. So I think that would be a very serious mistake.
Senator Lloyd Benson of Texas. Senator Philip Hart of Michigan says the House will vote later this week in favor of delaying President Ford's plan. That bill would delay the increase for at least 3 months. Otherwise, tariffs could go up beginning at the first of next month, up as high as $3 per barrel of oil by the first of April. You're listening to NBC News.
Give needy people a chance to help themselves and plant the seed of hope today. Send your columns now to CARE,
Department 2, New York, 10016.
President Makarios of Cyprus spoke at a rally in Nicosia and said that the majority Greek Cypriots want peaceful coexistence with the minority Turkish Cypriots, but he says again the Greek Cypriots will never accept Turkish occupation of part of the island. Bangladesh has a new prime minister, Mansour Ali. He was sworn in along with other members of a new government in Bangladesh following yesterday's constitutional change. The new system replaces the parliamentary system with a presidential system. President Ford has designated tomorrow as MIA Day, and a spokesman for the administration says there are plans to set up a new commission to check into the status of Americans still listed as missing in action in Southeast Asia. Tomorrow is also the second anniversary of the Paris Peace Agreement, and in Saigon, politicians opposed to the Tu government held a convention to demand the end of the Tu regime and an end to U.S. aid to South Vietnam. The Hour's lead story, Vice President Nelson Rockefeller promises to take the investigation of any domestic spying by the Central Intelligence Agency all the way, no matter where it leads. John Bohannon, NBC News.
This is the show I didn't want to get here. Well, it's here, the farewell program on Monitor. And I'm Big Wilson Hyatt. Nice to be with you. We're reminiscing about the many years, almost 20, that we've been on the air. Many of the people who've been with us as hosts or contributors in other ways will share the program today. It all began on June 12th, 1955. One of the popular songs at the time was this.
You made me cry when you said goodbye.
That ain't that a shame. Pat Boone back from 1955. 10 years ago, there was a comedy team named Nichols and May. Mike Nichols, Elaine May, of course. And they were on Monitor every weekend. And they were something. Listen.
Come in, Miss Price.
Hello, Doctor.
I thought we'd have you sit up today.
Oh?
Rather than lie on the couch, there's something that I'd like to talk to you about.
Oh, surely.
This may come as quite a shock to you, Miss Price.
Well, what is that, Doctor?
Well, I'm afraid I'm giving up my practice, but it shouldn't upset you. Dr. Butterworth is taking over my patients. He's
well,
a very fine analyst.
I wouldn't want to start with someone else.
Well, I've given Dr. Butterworth your records, Miss Price, and naturally, you know, he will consult with me in the beginning. And he's a very, very highly respected analyst.
Well, I mean, is something the matter?
Oh, no. I've given this a lot of thought, Miss Price, and I've decided to give up my practice. I'm going into the movies.
Into the movies?
Yes, actually, it came just like a bolt out of the blue. I was eating in a restaurant just a few weeks ago, and a talent scout from 20th Century saw me, and he approached me, and at first I thought it was just, you know, one of those runarounds, but I've done a screen test, and they certainly seemed to like it, to my great surprise. I thought it was terrible, and they've offered me a 7-year contract, and I just can't afford to turn it down.
In the movies?
That's right.
Are you going to be an actor?
Yes, Miss Price. Your analyst is going to be a star. If you'll excuse me, I have many things to wind up for today. I will be sending your records to Dr. Butterworth. I wish you, as you must know, much luck. I know it'll be a successful analysis.
I
And You let me know how you like Dr. Butterworth. I know you like him. Thank you very much, Miss Price.
Oh, well, I don't know what to say.
I hope you'll come and see my first picture.
Yes, certainly.
Goodbye.
Dr. Butterworth.
That's right.
I'll call him for an appointment.
Right, Miss Price. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
I just didn't have the heart to tell her Butterworth wants to be a fireman.
Nichols and May, and the amazing thing, they made it up as they went along. Just fantastic minds. Mike Nichols, Elaine May on monitor back in 1965. One of our former hosts, I talked with him yesterday, as a matter of fact, off and on 7 years, a host on monitor, Jim Lowe. And besides doing that, he had himself a big hit record in 1956. You remember this?
Midnight, one more night without sleeping. Watching till the morning comes creeping. Green door, what's that secret you're keeping? There's an old piano and they play it hot behind the green door. Don't know what they're doing, but they laugh a lot behind the green door. Wish they let me in so I could find out what's behind the green door. Not once tried to tell them I've been there. Door slammed, hospitality's been there. Wonder just what's going on in there. Saw an eyeball peeping through a smoky cloud behind the green door. When I said Joe sent me, someone laughed out loud behind the green door. All I want to do is join the happy crowd behind the green door. Sleeping, watching till the morning comes creeping. Green door, what's that secret you're keeping? Green door, what's that secret you're keeping? Green door.
Yeah, Jim Lowe and Green Door. Big hit record. What do we say? 1956, I guess. 65, I'll never forget that. No, 56, I think. I think it was. Somewhere in there anyway, doesn't matter. It was a big one. And Jim Lowe said he did that one, then he did one more. I've forgotten what it was. And after that, America said, stop singing, Jim. And they stopped buying his records. That's fun. Well, if you look behind the green door, you may find that we're all on the monitor beacon. I'm Big Wilson on monitor, and...
This is Ed McMahon.
This is Hugh Downs.
This is Phyllis Diller.
This is Joe Garagiola.
This is Arlene Francis.
This is Frank Blair.
This is Lindsay Nelson.
This is Mel Allen.
This is Gene Shepherd.
This is Gene Rayburn.
This is Salma Diamond.
This is Jonathan Winters.
This is Mod Brecker.
Just a few of the personalities you've heard on monitor through the years, and some of those people will join us today.
So stick around. Stick around for Barbara Streisand. All in Love is Fair.
All is fair in love. Love's a crazy game. Two people vow to stay. In love is one, they say. But all is changed.
And All in Love is Fair. I'm told that for a minute there, I guess some of the stations were not able to pick us up. There was some kind of a follow-up on the line somewhere. On the final show of Monitor, well, maybe the phone company thought it was yesterday. It's today. I'm sorry to say that. We're having a kind of a farewell party, though. A lot of people around. John Bartholomew Tucker, who came in early and plans to stay late. He's in the next studio. What's going on in there, John?
Everybody else dropping by.
Yeah.
What's your name, please? Would you identify yourself?
Wait, I have to look at the label on my coat. Joyce Brothers.
Yes. Hello there, Dr. Joyce Brothers. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
What was the funniest or the combination, funniest hyphen worst interview you ever had?
Well, I think it was with Imus. I was prepared.
What was that name?
With Imus.
Don't believe I know him. Don Imus.
Don Imus. Yes, Imus in the morning. And I suppose everyone has their off days or their days when they've just been pushed a little bit too far, or they say things that perhaps they might regret. And that was one of my days. I just could not take that interview seriously.
I knew you were going to say that. And so we have that interview right here. And folks, see if you agree with Dr. Brothers.
We're talking with Dr. Joyce Brothers on Imus on Monitor. Dr. Joyce Brothers is the only star that I have been able to persuade to be on the show. Welcome to Imus on Monitor.
I'm not sure that I have been persuaded, but
did you voluntarily come on? We're talking about my black cowboy hat. What do you think it means that I'm wearing this?
It means that you put a lot of money into something that isn't really worth it.
Yeah. You've heard my show, I Miss in the Morning, here in New York.
Yes, I listen to it every morning.
Well, now, I have been criticized in the media, press most particularly, of being dirty in that I insist on asking women on the telephone if they're naked.
Mm-hmm.
And vicious and arrogant because I hang up on people and stuff,
mm-hmm.
all in the spirit of good fun.
Mm-hmm.
And crude because I satirize people like Billy Graham and maybe not specifically Billy Graham, but that kind of tent-style sort of religion.
Mm-hmm.
So I've asked you on the show to do an analysis of
mm-hmm.
of this show, because we're doing basically the same thing on Monitor.
Yeah. Well, to begin with, you're dirty, vicious, and crude. But aside from that, you'd be a really nice guy if you weren't such a wimp.
You're in a lot of trouble, Dr. Mellis.
I know. But I think that one of the reasons why you have been so popular and are, particularly with young people,
is that you're... What do you mean, been so popular?
You know, it was a slip of the tongue.
I mean, in 1963, you predicted long hair on men.
Uh-huh.
And are you now predicting that my showbiz career is waning?
Well, one has to, in order for something to wane, one has to peak.
Well, that's another one for Dr. Brothers. Well, are you psychic at all, or?
No, I have no psychic ability.
Well, how do you predict things, just by?
Well, for example, when we, in 63, about the long hair, at that time, there was a movie, Oliver, which was popular, in which the young people looked like orphans, and we were coming into a time when young people were rejecting the older generation, rejecting their parents, and what the idea of being an orphan is the ultimate in parent rejection, with the possible exception of having your belly button surgically removed. And so...
Now, just wait a minute, Dr. Brothers. Just wait. What does a belly button got to... I don't understand that. Is that something that people do?
No, it isn't. Well, but that would be the ultimate in rejecting your mother, wouldn't it?
To ultimately reject my mother would entail me not sending any more money. It has nothing to do with my belly button. That's crazy kind of stuff. See, that just makes people nutty when you start thinking about that kind of stuff. I'm very worried now about my belly button. I just know that because I don't want to feel like I'm some kind of mommy's boy or, you know.
Well, as long as you remember.
I mean, I'm very masculine now, and I don't have any hang-ups about that at all.
I see. Mm-hmm. Well, psychologists figure that as long as other people worry, we don't have to, so...
I hope, Dr. Brothers, I want to thank you for being on this.
Don, I didn't get a chance to say this, that one of the reasons for your popularity is that you are able to say straight out things that other people fantasy saying but never get a chance to, so... In a way, you act as a kind of spokesman for a certain number of wimp people.
Why do you suppose that people here at NBC, which I don't expect you to comment on NBC executives, but most of them are, the greater majority of them are wimps. I know just nothing guys, you know, that wear cheap suits and chug like two martinis at lunch and fake it the rest of the week. Why do you suppose they would let me do stuff? I don't understand why they let me do it.
Well, I think that...
Outside of the big, they're getting rich. But...
Max Schulman, a long time ago, defined a vice president at the network. And he asked, he had one of his characters ask the vice president what he does, and he says, I nice. And they're just too busy being nice.
I guess. All right, can you be on my show next week?
I have an appointment with a psychoanalyst. You have pushed me to the very brink, but if he lets me come, I will.
Okay, that was an interview with Dr. Brothers and Imus when he was a host here on Monitor. I would say Dr. Brothers 8, Imus 1, wouldn't you? Yeah. Well, Dr. Brothers really put him down once. She said, as Masters and Johnson said, you're art in my book.
Oh, yeah, I'm the great pretender. One.
I'm the great pretender. Just laughing and gay like a clown. I seem to be what I'm not. You see, I'm wearing my heart like a crown. Pretending that you're still around.
Tender. Another song came out in 1956. It was one of my all-time favorites, Canadian Sunset by Eddie Heywood. Remember that? I always say, if I'm going to enjoy a sunset, make mine Canadian. That was a good song. And 1956 was also the year that not just a few people spoke of Monitor and said, that'll never last. It took them a long time to be right. Jonathan Winters will be my guest in the next half hour.
NBC Update. I'm John Bohannon with an update report on the news. Senator Howard Baker of Tennessee wants any congressional investigation of domestic spying to include information from files as far back as 1964 during the Johnson administration. And Baker says the Congressional Select Committee on Intelligence Operations will even subpoena former President Nixon if necessary. And Vice President Rockefeller promises that his special committee will be tough on the CIA. He says charges of domestic spying will be pursued all the way, no matter where it leads, in his words, to a Republican president, to a Democratic president, or to anyone else. Time magazine says tonight that the FBI had files on rumors about the sex lives of former Presidents Kennedy and Nixon when J. Edgar Hoover was director. According to Time, those files were among other files on public officials. The head of General Motors, Thomas Murphy, says he thinks the worst is over for the U.S. auto industry. Murphy told the Detroit News that he expects thousands of GM employees to be recalled this spring. About 99,000 GM workers have been laid off. President Ford has declared tomorrow as National MIA Awareness Day, and a spokesman for the administration says Mr. Ford is considering a new panel to check out the status of more than 2,400 Americans who are still unaccounted for in Southeast Asia. Senator Harrison Williams, a Democrat from New Jersey, plans to introduce a bill tomorrow to limit foreign investors to 5% of the stock of any American company. His bill also calls for public disclosures of every stockholder in every publicly held corporation in the country. John Bohannon, NBC Update. Thank you.
Hi, this is Big. Chances are you heard this on monitor in 1957, if you were listening then. You even heard it probably in 74, since Mathis seems to keep going on and on. He's been one of our favorite guests. Johnny Mathis, chances are.
Chances are, cause I wear a silly grin the moment you come into view. Chances are you think that I'm in love.
From the years gone by, the 20 years that Monitor's been on the air, almost 20. And through the years on Monitor, there have been the voices of people from all walks of life, shared significant moments in their lives with us. On his 92nd birthday, the late American statesman and businessman Bernard M. Baruch was asked to talk about what had brought him happiness and success.
Well, I think the nice thing that ever happened to me was when my wife said yes when I proposed to her. I was about 24, and I didn't have two nickels, one to rub against another. I worked and saved, and there were great opportunities in those days. I think there are a lot of them now, too. Each person has a certain gift or a certain ability. When I was in college, I wanted to be a 100-yard dasher, but I couldn't run under 13. Mm-hmm. That was no good. I tried all kinds of things. I think each one has possibilities, man and woman. If they can fall into that groove, then they'll make a success. And success is so different. Success comes to a great prize fighter, a great 100-yard dasher, a great baseball player, a great musician, a great actress, a great fighter, a great general, a great politician. It all depends upon the what they attempt and how they succeed. But we're all alike. There's not much difference between us.
That's the voice of Bernard Baruch on the day in August of 62 when he celebrated his 92nd birthday. excuse me. He lived till age 95. He mentioned having so little money when he married in his early 20s. By the time he became 30, his astuteness in the stock market had made him a millionaire. Well, let's move on. This is Pretty Olivia Newton-John. Country Singer of the Year, I believe, 1974. If You Love Me.
You came when I was happy in your sunshine.
My goodness, but she is pretty. And she sings so prettily, too. That's a fine song. Love that bass part, don't you? I'm Big Wilson. This is the final show for me on Monitor. I regret to see it come, and it's nice to be with you in any case. We'll be talking with Jonathan Winters in the next 15 minutes, together on the Monitor Beacon. Again on Monitor. Nice to be with you. How about Perry Como? This goes back 1958. Yeah. Catch a Falling Star.
Catch a falling star and put it in your pocket. Never let it fade away. Catch a falling star and put it in your pocket. Save it for a rainy day. For love may come and tap you on the shoulder some starless night. Just in case you feel you want to hold her, you'll have a pocket full of starlight. Catch a falling star and put it in your pocket. Never let it fade away.
Never let it fade away.
Catch a falling star and put it in your pocket. Save it for a rainy day.
For a rainy day.
For love may come and pat you on the shoulder some starless night. And just in case you feel you want to hold her, you'll have a pocket full of starlight.
Pocket full of starlight.
Catch a falling star and put it in your pocket. Never let it fade away.
Never let it fade away.
Catch a falling star and put it in your pocket. Save it for a rainy day.
For a rainy day. Rainy day.
For when your troubles start multiplying, and they just might, it's easy to forget them without trying. With just a pocket full of starlight, catch a falling star and put it in your pocket. Never let it fade away.
Never let it fade away.
Catch a falling star and put it in your pocket. Save it for a rainy day.
Save it for a rainy day.
Save it for a rainy day.
That's got to be from the How Time Flies department. 1958, the year that the Giants went to San Francisco, the Dodgers went to Los Angeles. Nobody in New York ever forgave anybody for that. And Perry Como hardly moved at all. He upheld his reputation for being the only person who could go to sleep in the middle of a nap. I have a phone call on the monitor line. Let me pick up. Hello, who's this?
Hello, Big.
Yes, who's this?
This is Mark Slove. I'm out in Tucson, Arizona.
Mark, you were the boss of us all, I believe, our executive producer, some years before I got here.
Yes, that's true.
What are you doing in Phoenix?
Well, I'm not in Phoenix. I'm in Tucson.
Oh, that's another reason.
But I've been listening to your show with a great deal of mixed emotion for the last couple of days here.
Well, I know that you were the boss of Monitor. What station are you listening to in Tucson, Marks?
KCEE.
KCEE. Well, are we coming in loud and clear?
Loud and clear.
And you're hearing some of the great old people. I guess you were instrumental in getting a lot of those guests here on the show.
I've heard a lot of them.
Yeah.
And I listen to the show with mixed emotions because I don't think there's ever going to be another Monitor, or I hope there will be, but it was certainly an innovation in radio, and it was unsuccessfully imitated several times, and nobody else ever got off the ground with it.
Well,
and I would say that a 20-year run is pretty good. That's a hit in show business, I would say.
I would say so, too. Thank you very much, Marge. It's nice to talk with you, and continued success, whatever you're doing now.
And lots of luck to you and to all the staff.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Oh.
That's Mark Slove. He was the executive producer of Monitor some years ago. Fine. Nice to talk to that gentleman. Maureen McGovern will be next on Monitor.
Hello. Such a simple way to start a love affair. Should I jump right in and say how much I care? Would you take me for the madness of a simple-hearted clown? Hello. With affection from a sentimental fool, from a little girl who's broken every rule, one who We're both a bit embarrassed by our past. But I think there's something special in the feelings that we found. And you're nice to be around. And you're nice.
As we do our last show on Monitor, we're talking to some of the great people who were on it or hosts of it or had contributions to it. And on the Monitor line now is Jonathan Winters. Hey, Jonathan.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. It's nice to talk with you. Well, you know that Monitor's going off the air, and you were certainly a contributor to it.
Well, I'm sorry to hear it's going off the air. It was a great program and certainly brought a lot of people a lot of joy over the years.
I wonder how Maudie might feel about its going off.
Well, Maudie's here. Just a minute.
Oh, nice. Good.
Oh, I can't begin to tell you the sorrow that set in when our family heard that NBC Monitor was going off. You know, we never did get around to watching TV. We've always had the cabinet, but we never had the parts or the glass, and what we did was just set our old radio right in there. We just always listened to everything that the Monitor ever said. And I tell you, it was tragic. The only other thing was losing our dog, Spiffy. Spiffy was, when we lost the dog, and then that was a great joke, and then to lose Monitor, I tell you, I've had a small cardiac arrest over it.
Well, I'm terribly sorry to hear about Spiffy, too, Marty. Is Elwood there by any chance?
Oh, yes. He was chopping wood, and he's been getting the chickens fed. Wait a minute, I'll get a hold. Come in, Elwood.
All right.
Hi, yes, Elwood B. Suggins. Well, I, like Mark said, it was a real jolt to us to lose NBC Monitor. I growed up with radio, of course. And,
of course.
To listen to the sports and the news and everything. I don't know what I'll do now. I guess, I tell you, like Maude, it was a jolt to her. I may just go over to the VA and turn in over there and put on a terry cloth robe and just hole up and never come out.
Well, I don't want you to do that, Elwood. Life goes on, you know.
Well, I suppose it does, but I tell you, I'm so depressed. Christmas, I didn't get the gifts I wanted, and now to hear this news, it just drove me almost to drink.
And, of course, Spiffy.
Well, Spiffy, yeah, Spiffy's passing. Of course, Spiffy was 36 years old.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, what we've did is we've stuffed Spiffy and put real good... good eyes in the dog, glass eyes, and
good.
We've got Spiffy out front now, and he looks real good. I mean, considering he's stuffed.
Well, I've heard a lot of people say Monitor ought to be stuffed.
Well, I don't know. I tell you, I think I'm going to miss it. I really am.
Well, is Tick Bigford there? Dick?
Oh, yeah. Wait a minute. Well, I must say that this is some tragic news. I guess everyone's used the various cliches about saying goodbye to NBC Monitor Radio. But
yes. Oh, you're terribly rich, aren't you, Tick?
Well, I suppose so. I've really never known my complete wealth. Of course, after Mr. Rockefeller disclosed his wealth, I mean, I was really a jolt to me to hear this man is only worth about $60 million. Good Lord, I've always had that in ready cash around the house.
We were wondering maybe you'd like to buy Monitor and start again.
Well, you know, I might very well do that. I've certainly been, I think, very honestly, a humanitarian. It might be a very good thing for me to do is to buy NBC Monitor. I've always wanted an expensive plaything where I could be heard across the country.
Well, this would be, probably $500,000, but we need about $100 cash.
You need about $100 cash?
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, my chauffeur, who's, he's always got some ready cash. I've known him to roll some of the members of the family from time to time, and I think he's got at least $100.
All right, Dick, thank you very much. Is Jonathan still there?
Yes, hi, how are you?
Oh, Jonathan, thank you. All the people at your house have been so nice. We thank you again for, again, contributing to Monitor.
Well, again, I'm sorry to see Monitor go. Perhaps somewhere along the line it'll come back.
Thank you very much. Jonathan Winters, thank you.
Thank you, Big.
Look at me, I'm a train on a track. I'm a train, I'm a train, I'm a chicken train, yeah. Look at me, got a load on my back. I'm a train, I'm a train, I'm a chicken train, yeah. Look at me, I'm going somewhere. I'm a train, I'm a train, I'm a chicken train, yeah. Look at me, I'm going somewhere. I'm a train, I'm a chicken train, yeah, been a hard day, it has 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 been a for the very last time. I'm a train, I'm a train, I'm a chicken train, yeah. Been a life that's long and hard. I'm a train, I'm a train, I'm a chicken train, yeah. I'm going down to the break of yard. I'm a train, I'm a train, I'm a chicken train, yeah. Been a hard day, it has been a hard day, it has been a hard day, it has been a hard day. I'm a train, I'm a chicken train. I'm a chicken train, I'm a train, I'm a chicken train, I'm a train.
Have any winning ideas for crocheting or knitting patterns? The February issue of Woman's Day magazine features a contest with over 100 prizes for your designs. And why wait for a special occasion to set a table that looks inviting? The February Woman's Day shows you table settings that add charm to any meal. And for snappy fashions that'll fit any budget, you'll find separates and accessories perfect for spring. Look for the cover with the models wearing a granny square sweater and knit cap you can make. Instructions are in the issue.
That I'm a Train is from 1974, Albert Hammond. And in the next half hour, I'll be going, hello, Big. I'll be talking with Ed McMahon. I hope you can stay for that. I'm Big Wilson. NBC News is next.